ABC Radio Australia.
It's Rugby Union in Samoa, and it could soon have not one but two governing bodies, with the government revealing plans to establish a new national rugby union to rival existing union, Lekapi Samoa. Prime Minister Luiatia Politeva'o-Schmidt announced the plans after his letter demanding the removal of Lekapi Samoa's current board members was refused. It comes as the Australian government waits to sign off on $150 million for rugby programs in Samoa, Tonga and Fiji. To discuss things further, I'm joined by rugby analyst with the New Zealand Herald, Gregor Paul. Gregor, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Now, it's certainly a unique situation, this one. First of all, what do you make of it all?
Look, I don't think it's great optics for Samoa Rugby Union to be, you know, to be doing this. Firstly, high level of government interference in sport, which kind of plays against all the charters and World Rugby to begin with, but secondly, it's just ugly and messy and uncertain to be having this going on. And I think when you have a instability in governance or administration in the way that this is playing out, it really erodes confidence. And when I say that, I mean it will erode the confidence of players who are eligible to play, who currently do play for Samoa. That will make them wary. Some might just decide, actually, I don't want to do this. There'll be guys who haven't yet, given their eligibility to Samoa, who'll be thinking, jeepers, I definitely don't want to be doing that now. World Rugby won't be looking at that favourably. Any potential sponsors won't be looking at this well. And to your intro point about the Australian government about to sign off on a big tranche of money, we'll have to see what happens there. But again, I wouldn't be overly confident about the fate of that money working its way into Samoa at the moment.
No, and I don't think the Australian government would be all that confident handing that money over, knowing what we know now. Before we move on, Samoa, once a very celebrated rugby nation, have gone deep into World Cups in the past. I mean, how did they reach this point over the last few years?
Well, I guess what we're seeing playing out has been a story that has rumbled along for quite some time. Poor governance, unstable governance, poor administration. That's been a story, I think, that's played through since the 2011 World Cup, when Mo Schwalger, the Samoan captain, had his say and talked about the issues of corruption that he felt were happening in the administrative side of the game. I don't think that's ever really been fixed up. This has taken it to a nuclear level. Which it may be in one way is not such a bad thing, because it's probably blown it up to the extent that it will now have to be dealt with. But I think that has put everyone in a spiral where it's been very difficult for external bodies to have confidence in investing time, money into Samoa. There's a lack of trust that has sent players, to my point earlier, guys that have been eligible to play for Samoa have probably made decisions that say we're not going to. There's no ability to generate match fees for players when they play for Samoa, and then there's no ability, it's all cyclical and it all falls apart, because there's then no ability for Samoa to get a fixture list that makes players want to sign up and play. Because when you find yourself playing in Tbilisi and the not so attractive places of the world, I shouldn't pick on Georgia, I didn't mean to, but I think the point being, like the fixture list of playing Canada, Georgia and Romania as opposed to playing England, Scotland and Wales, doesn't seem attractive to Samoan players. So the whole thing is cyclical and just falls apart.
Yeah, no, look, you're absolutely right. And I guess on top of that, there's been some swings, I suppose, that they've taken in recent times, which haven't really paid off in the way they might have hoped. One of which is Moana Pacifica, who have actually, I guess, played quite an indirect role in the decline of rugby in Samoa, and maybe to a lesser extent, Tonga. Can you elaborate a little bit on Moana Pacifica's role in all this?
Yeah, like it is indirect. It is important to stress that. I think what it's done is it was set up. Moana Pacifica came into the Super Rugby competition, New Zealand and Australia's Super Rugby competition in 2022, under a great remit. And the remit was effectively to create a pathway for Samoan and Tongan players to find players both currently in Samoa and Tonga, give them the opportunity to access good coaching, good nutrition, and build a team that could represent both countries under one umbrella, if you like, at a club level. Capture all those players that were maybe kind of drifting into New Zealand and Australian teams because there was nowhere else for them to go. Build that up and then spit them back out into Samoa and Tongan international teams. And in time, the idea was that more and more this team would be based in Samoa / Tonga to train, to play. What that's done is it's shown that the fact that they haven't, I think they've only played one game, and I might be wrong. If it's only one, I apologise if I'm not right with that. But the logistics and economics of playing in the islands have proven too difficult to overcome. They've found out really that the vast majority of talent, young boys particularly, are already kind of out of Samoa and Tonga at the age of 15, 16, because they're being lured over to New Zealand and Australia through education programs predominantly, or family members are bringing kids over that might have shown a bit of talent and putting them into schools over here. So there is no pipeline of talent on the islands. It's already over here in New Zealand particularly. So all of these things have turned out to be very difficult to manage. And what it's done is it's kind of said, what is the future for the Samoan and Tongan national teams? Because there's no pipeline of talent that's going to feed, you know, a promising kid at 15 back into the Samoan and Tongan teams. And there's no economic formula that seems to be working to host rugby games in either country, either at club level or international level. So, you know, what are we going to do here? And it looks like everyone's just put it in the far too hard basket and realised that, where are we with all this?
Yeah, and I guess that's in some ways been indicative of what we've seen from what we've heard come out of Moana Pacifica since the start of the year. Obviously, about 15 players walked away in the off season, which raised some red flags when I saw that. I guess if they do collapse, because they haven't collapsed yet, and I want to point that out, but if they do fall over, what questions will that place over not only Super Rugby, but I guess Pacific Rugby as a whole?
Look, it'll be fairly devastating, I think, for Pacific Rugby. Super Rugby will weather it. You know, it won't be great, but they're a bigger entity. They'll still have 10 teams. They'll still have enough money and momentum to carry on, and they'll reshape. But it does beg the question, what is the future for Pacific Rugby? And it will probably accentuate what we currently have, which is really it's a migratory process for Samoa and Tongan talent that they're going to be encouraged off the island. Both countries are going to be lured into, the best players are going to be lured into New Zealand, lured into Australia, lured further afield, whether it's rugby, whether it's NRL, whether it's even the NFL. I mean, there's such a rich talent pool there that I think that will be its future. And all these really talented athletes, everyone will scramble yet harder under the guise of educational opportunity to bring them to New Zealand. But in many cases, they're really just being used, given an opportunity to bolster a rugby team at a school because you've got a principal with a giant ego that wants his team to win. And this will be the fate. And these guys will become eligible to play for New Zealand or Australia, and that's what will happen. You know, they'll make that choice to play for New Zealand and Australia. Very difficult to see how Samoa, Tongan international teams get a decent fixture list, how they can attract, you know, their own players to come and play for them, how they're going to drive revenue to attract players to come and play for them. And I just think we'll be stuck in this pattern. And what we'll be seeing is that come Rugby World Cup time, I don't think we'll see strong Samoan or strong Tongan international teams at those competitions.
Yeah, that's really sad. I mean, and obviously, Moana Pacifica, the idea was to get around that exact problem. Is there any lifelines potentially available to them? I don't know if it's, you know, the New Zealand government or anyone like that, or I don't know, World Rugby. Is there anything possible, do you think?
Look, I think they're running out of options, and I say that with a heavy heart because I think everybody wants this thing to continue. The New Zealand government is probably a no. I don't think that they have the interest or the fiscal ability to do it, because the issue with Moana is finding a home for the actual club. Now, the club has to play somewhere, has to have a base somewhere. Mm-hmm. Auckland is the natural base for Moana Pacifica to play. Unfortunately, however, the Blues rugby team, which is an established member of Super Rugby, has been here for 30 years and has a very strong Pacific flavour itself. It also has a licence that prevents any competitive entity playing in its area. So the ability for Moana to play its games in Auckland is limited by that licence. And this is why we've seen Moana be a fairly nomadic team, bouncing around New Zealand trying to play their games wherever they can. Makes that very difficult to build a fan base. And New Zealand just can't really have a sixth Super Rugby team. So I don't see the government coming to the rescue. World Rugby look like they're kind of, and certainly to given what's happening at the administrative and governance side of Samoa, I don't think New Zealand already government would be keen. But you know, there's a big pot of money in Australia. It's a much richer country, wealthier country. The government seems to be motivated to use this money diplomatically. It's got its reasons. And could Moana be shifted to, I don't know, Sydney, Melbourne, somewhere, and the Australian government pick up the tab and do it that way? I mean, I think that's maybe the only lifeline left for Moana.
Well, I guess knowing what we know, Australia is obviously about to splash that $150 million in the region to, from what I've read, fund new rugby programs. How do you think that money can best be spent, knowing the challenges that are in place?
Well, look, I think, first and foremost, if they're going to spend that amount of money, it's probably pretty critical that, you know, everyone in those two countries wants to have access to picking up a rugby ball and, you know, having the joy of playing the game at some kind of structured level with a bit of coaching and a bit of understanding. I think that's the most important thing. That's where that government money should be spent, on participation first. But secondly, I think if it's got a diplomatic aim behind it, then to the points that we've raised here, there needs to be some leveling in the sense that the pathway has to be there for people of Samoan and Tongan heritage who are elite players to be able to play the game at the highest level and not be financially penalised for committing to play for Samoa or Tonga. So there needs to be a sense that if you go and play for Samoa, you know, you'll be able to earn, you're not going to earn what you earn as an All Black or a Wallaby, but you do need to not be financially penalised. You do need to be going into a team where you're not paying your own airfare. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff would be, I mean, it's kind of incredible that actually still happens. Or, you know, if you've got to have trust that if you go and play, you'll get paid your match fee, and your match fee won't be, you know, massively less than what, you know, other international nations pay their players. So these basic things, you need to allow a way that people don't, Samoan and Tongan athletes don't think, the last thing I want to do is commit to play for Samoa and Tonga. I want to go and do it because it's a fair and reasonable opportunity for me to showcase. I'll get to go to World Cup. We'll get some good fixtures along the way. We'll be a competitive team. And if that money can be used to do that, because, you know, I still remember, I'm old enough, watching what was called Western Samoa playing in Edinburgh back in 1991 at the World Cup, and it was incredible, you know. Mm. And I know what it did for Samoans. And again, if we could get both Samoa and Tonga to be really competitive again, which they can be on the international stage, I think government money would be really well spent if there's a bit of pride put back in those nations.
I think we'd all love to see that, and I hope the Australian government is listening, because you've raised some great points. Gregor, that's all we've got time for today, but thanks so much for joining us on Pacific Beat.
My pleasure.
That was rugby analyst with the New Zealand Herald, Gregor Paul.